House Judiciary Committee order today is April 6, 2011. First item on the agenda is a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2123A. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2123.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs and members of the committee. House Bill 2123A comes to us from the Ag and Natural Resources Committee on a unanimous vote. The bill authorizes State Forester to approve payment of costs and reasonable attorney fees from State Forestry Department revolving account for firefighter alleged to have committed misdemeanor or felony action in course of fire suppression activities. Requires State Forester to determine firefighter was performing fire suppression activities under Forester's direction. Alleged actions are likely to have occurred in course of firefighters' performance of fire suppression activities, and alleged actions are within a range of reasonable actions that could be chosen in good faith by firefighter. Stipulates firefighter does not have any right to hearing or appeal regarding Forester's determinations. There is a -A3 amendment, which focuses the bill a little bit while replacing most of the sections. So.
Thank you. Charlie Stone and Jazz Adams, please.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, Chair Krieger, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Charlie Stone. I work in the Protection from Fire program at the Department of Forestry. With me today is Jazz Adams, the attorney in charge of the Natural Resource section of General Counsel, who helped us in preparation of this bill and working through the issues. As the committee counsel has said, this bill is about authorizing the state forester to be able to pay the criminal defense charges if that should come up. It never has in Oregon, and we hope that it never does. But in 2001, in Washington State, the 30 Mile Fire, which was a federal fire, a crew boss was charged with involuntary manslaughter when four of his crew members died in a burnover incident on that fire. And that put a pretty chilling effect on firefighting folks throughout the nation. We pretty quickly after that began to look at remedies that would keep our people willing to go into those decision-making positions in their jobs and spend the several years that it takes to become an incident commander or high-placed person on a fire team, that type of thing. At the same time, the National Association of State Foresters was looking into that, and we've been developing this set of solutions for several years now. Finally, in about 2009 or early 2010, the National Association of State Foresters kind of threw up their hands and said, you know, there's no professional liability insurance for state employees that would work for this situation. They're not writing policies of these types for individual states. They couldn't come up with a solution and suggested that each state approach their legislatures and try and solve it that way. The state of Montana did just that a couple of years ago, and I believe Colorado has followed in their footsteps. We brought forward to the Legislative Council a bill, well, Montana's bill, and asked them if we wanted something similar to that, and this is the product that we have today. We were instrumental in preparing the -3 amendments after questions from the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee, and we'd ask that you adopt those amendments into the bill to tighten things up a little bit, make certain that it's, you know, that the actions that we're defending are directly related to fire suppression. It's not some other activity that occurred during a fire and a couple other things like that to focus the bill a little bit. We've had a couple of questions. Representative Hicks, when we visited with him, had a question about other jurisdictions that have this type of authority. As far as we know, in Oregon, there are none. But some 16 other states, I think we listed in some materials, do have legislation of this type for police officers, firefighters, other public employees in various forms. And then Representative Nolan asked us a question about how would we monitor those costs of providing for a defense. At the time, I didn't have a good answer. I think that we could enter into an agreement with the employee that would specify what types of things the department might pay for, or you know, steps along the way where they'd have to check in with us in terms of what the costs are, that type of thing. I suppose there doesn't appear to be any prohibition on agency rulemaking that could deal with that, although unless we really end up in that situation, I'm not sure we'd want to go through that kind of an operation. So I hope that we've answered at least some of the questions that both House Ag and Natural Resources and you folks have asked us up till now. In the packet that I've given you, there's several questions that came up in agriculture that with our answers to those. And if you have any questions about DOJ's relationship in that here, Jazz can certainly answer those. In a civil matter, you know, it's the Department of Justice and the Attorney General that looks at our actions and determines whether they were properly within the course of business, and if so, then makes that determination and defends us. But in a criminal matter, they can't do that because it's the state of Oregon against the state of Oregon, and they would be carrying any or defending any appeals that might come after a conviction. So it's a situation that just isn't covered currently. With that, I'd ask you to adopt the -3 amendments. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I hope you'd move this to the floor of the House with a due pass.
Any questions? Representative Hicks?
Thanks. I had another question occur to me in regards to local fire departments that may, depending on the situation, be kind of annexed, pulled into, or asked to assist. Would this bill cover that as well? Is that contemplated by the bill?
Chair Barker, Representative Hicks, no, I don't believe it would. The bill states that it would cover employees of the Department of Forestry or the Forest Protective Associations. Local jurisdictions don't have the same relationship with the Department of Justice that we do, and they can make their own determinations as to how to deal with any criminal charges that might be brought. So it's only intended to cover the department employees itself and the three Forest Protective Associations that operate under the same set of statutes and the state foresters' policies.
Okay. Mr. Adams, obviously you look this over and you feel that it's all up to snuff illegally, I would assume.
For the record, Jazz Adams, DOJ. Department of Justice is neutral on the bill. We provided technical input, and we actually worked with Chuck Taylor and LC to tighten up the bill in response to concerns from the House Ag and Natural Resource Committee that the coverage be extended only to conduct directly related to fire suppression activities to avoid the potential misconduct outside of the fire suppression activities. So we think these -3 amendments do effectuate that goal.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Mr. Chair. Representative Krieger.
I'd like to move the -A3s into House Bill 2123.
Are we in work session?
Thank you. Close the public hearing and open our work session on House Bill 2123.
Chair, I'd like to move the -A3s into House Bill 2123.
Representative Krieger moves the -3 amendments into House Bill 2123. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2123 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2123 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And I am not prepared to support the bill for reasons that we've discussed, to briefly articulate those. I don't know of another portion of state government which receives this kind of protection. So this is kind of unprecedented. Within Oregon, I do understand that it's commonly done in other states, certain other states, but within Oregon, this is unique. It does create a precedent that I'm not prepared, especially in this fiscal environment, to begin. I mean, I understand. I've heard everything you said about the value of state foresters, so I don't want that to be taken wrongly. But so that's largely it. I mean, this is not the year for this particular proposal.
Could I make a comment on the record? Jazz Adams, DOJ. Just, we advised the forestry that actually there's a 2000 AG opinion. It's number 2000-2, which actually analyzed DAS's statutory authority and opined that DAS actually had the statutory authority to establish a program across the board for criminal defense coverage for state employees. So it's never been implemented. DAS has never done that. But in terms of being unique in Oregon, there actually is an Attorney General opinion that says that DAS actually could establish criminal defense cost coverage if it chose to do so.
Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Wong.
Aye.
Representative Woodman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks.
Nay.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Schaffer will be the carrier. And the next item on the agenda is House Bill 2662. It is not ready to go out today, but we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2662. Council.
Thank you, chairs and members of the committee. House Bill 2662. Staff did not even summarize the original content. This is a replacement with a Dash 1 amendment, which amends ORS 181-740 to allow state agencies to begin complying with reporting requirements and extends a program for PSRB relief hearings from January 2, 2012 to January 2, 2016. In 2009, the Legislative Assembly passed House Bill 2853B, requiring the Department of Human Services, the Oregon Judicial Department, and the Psychiatric Security Review Board, PSRB, to provide information to Oregon State Police identifying persons prohibited from possessing and or purchasing firearms due to specific court findings related to mental illness in order to comply with federal law. PSRB is also required to conduct hearings at the request of persons subject to such provisions who are seeking relief. As written, both the relief hearing program and compliance with reporting requirements are contingent upon funding and rulemaking. House Bill 2662 is amended, as amended, would permit immediate compliance with the reporting requirements and allow the relief hearing program to be extended for 4 years.
Thank you. Mr. Yandell.
Co-Chair Barker and Krieger, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Yandell. I'm the Director of the Criminal Justice Information Services Division for the Oregon State Police. I believe the committee administrator's explanation of what we are proposing to do with House Bill 2662 was a good introduction. I did want to add that during the 2009 legislative session, as she indicated, the legislature adopted House Bill 2853, which was the state of Oregon's legislative vehicle to bring the state of Oregon into compliance with the National Criminal History Background Check Improvement Amendments Act, which became federal law January of 2008. Since the 2009 legislative session, the state of Oregon has been awarded two grants to fulfill the implementation of House Bill 2853 and the requirements under the federal law. We received $770,000 in 2009 and $2 million last year to specifically allow the state of Oregon's efforts to commence. Without addressing the sunset in the bill as originally passed last session, the program essentially ends before it ever begins because we need to extend the sunset provision to allow the work to actually commence. We agreed with the stakeholders during the 2009 legislative session to put that sunset in there to give us the opportunity to present to you the opportunity to ask any questions about the work that's been done since the 2009 session, and more specifically to assure the members that funding had been received to allow the program to commence. During the 2009 session, we took the approach in our application to the federal government for grant money that we would look to the feds to fund 100% of the creation of the state's gun relief program. In the end, they were not able to satisfy 100% funding of the relief program, and we came to the legislature during the 2010 special session to secure funding for the PSRB's gun relief program, which is ready to begin receiving hearings.
Are there any questions from Mr. Yandell? No, quite easy. Okay, thank you. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2662.
Did you see Mary
Claire
Buckley here?
I did not. Okay, she doesn't want it. So, do you slide that up here? work session. We're going to set House Bill 2547 over. It's scheduled for a work session, but we don't have the fiscal back. And I think we'll stand at ease until 5 minutes till 2, 1:55. We stand at ease.